And now for something completely different.
It's a rich man's world. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal, the full story, the whole enchilada, the Lance Roberts Show. It's money, markets, life. Now, back by popular demand, it's the Lance Roberts Show.
And good morning and welcome to the show at 6:07 as we get this Monday underway here. Of course, today is President's Day. That banks, stock markets,
post office,
those things, those are all closed today. You may be working. We're working today. We're here. So if you're having to go into work today, we feel for you. But we'll start our countdown for the weekend.
Well, the beauty about today is because of some of the closers, it'll be less traffic.
Exactly. So. That is, and traffic is flowing rather nicely right now. President's Day, of course, is not actually President's Day. It's actually George Washington's birthday today. Yes, it is. This is how we celebrate George Washington's birthday.
Yes.
That's right, because he was actually born February the 11th.
Yeah.
And then after the British invaded, we switched over to the Gregorian calendar. This is true.
Yeah, I know.
And it moved his birthday to the 22nd. I'm not sure how switching calendars changed the day of his birth, but it did.
I'm sure math was involved.
And can you imagine he had to go re-register his driver's license right then?
Yeah.
I mean, so 11 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And he got older 11 days just by switching calendars.
Right.
Right. So it's actually George Washington's birthday today. And then in 1895, something like that, we began to lump Abraham Lincoln into the mix because he was born February the 12th on the Gregorian calendar.
Right.
So so we said, okay, we'll just call it together and we'll call it President's Day and have a sale. So
right.
Yes, today, if you're going to go out shopping today, today's going to go shopping because it is President's Day sales everywhere.
Are you going to buy a mattress today?
You can buy a mattress. You can buy an auto. You can buy a car today.
Appliances.
Of course, I'm broke from Valentine's Day. This is the problem.
There you
go. See, this is the problem. We shove all these holidays. Think about this for a moment. I was thinking about this. This is my life. The last quarter of the year and the first quarter are the two. They're terrible for me because I've got Thanksgiving, Christmas. Mm-hmm. My wife's birthday is December the 1st.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And your wife's is?
August.
August. Don't you have a birthday, though, right around Christmas
or
something?
Well, no. All of my siblings and my kids are all in February.
Okay. See?
So, we're broke.
And then we got Valentine's Day, right? So, you just have all this stuff just piles up all at once, and then I'm broke for the rest of the year.
I think we need to adopt the Robertsian calendar.
Yes.
Which would even these out. And we'd only have one per month.
Exactly.
It would be a combined holiday, but just one a month.
I like it.
Okay.
If your birthday falls between January the 1st and 31st, we celebrate in February.
Right, on the 15th.
On the 15th. No, because that's Valentine's Day. Now we got two, right?
Well, you combine everything. Holidays combined into one holiday day a month.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's going to go for that.
And it would even out everything economically.
I'm still trying to get my kids convinced that the best day for them to get Christmas is the day after Christmas because they can have twice as much, and they won't buy off on this. I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, I lost that argument a long time ago, and now the month of August is birthday month for my bride.
Gotcha.
The entire month. All 31 days.
Well, so today is a holiday for some. And it's a shopping day for everybody else.
Yeah.
So, but of course, you may be wanting to be a little bit cautious about spending too much money right now because tax filing day, I know you don't want to hear this, right around the corner, April the 15th coming up. And the IRS is looking for money, not surprisingly, because government's a little bit short on revenue. A couple things to talk about today, of course, is the $22 trillion in debt that we are currently running, but that's not even the big debt. That's not even the debt you should be paying attention to. We're going to talk about that some today. And of course, this also kind of combines this whole idea of this stunning new poll that's out that we're watching the rise of these socialist ideas, right? And there was a new poll that was out, and the question becomes, do people really actually support these ideas? And the answer you might find surprising. I was a little bit surprised, especially this being America, or America, one or the other.
As we knew it.
Yes. As we knew it. Yes, this is the case. But yeah, so the IRS is actually out definitely looking for more money here. And the question becomes, what exactly are they looking for this year? And some of the interesting ideas here, of course, filing taxes are getting easier because of, online filing systems. You've got H&R Blocks now online. You've got, several other Intuit
TurboTax
is on. Thank you.
Tax cut.
That is online. Mm-hmm. So it's getting easier now to file taxes. But that doesn't mean the IRS isn't looking just as close at doing this. An IRS software program may just randomly select a taxpayer, and actually does, and compare the return to other similar returns to look for anomalies. Or the taxpayer in question may be linked to a family member or a business partner who is also being audited. So if you've got a family member that's in business somewhere and they're being audited, well, you could get audited just because they're getting audited. The IRS can audit returns up to 3 years old, and inaccuracies can lead to a penalty charges of 20% of the disallowed amount for filing an erroneous claim for a refund or credit. The IRS stated this was from the IRS, a $5,000 fine can be imposed if the tax return was deemed frivolous.
Frivolous?
Frivolous, where there isn't enough information to assess correct or incorrect information. So I had a friend of mine. I shouldn't call him a friend. He was actually a listener.
Has the statute of limitations run out on this story?
On this one, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely. But he's one of these guys that he lives in a trailer out in the middle of like East Texas somewhere.
Behind a van down by the river?
Sort of, yes. But his whole thing is he's trying to be off-grid as much as possible. So mm-hmm. every year he just files a tax return. He draws a big line through the middle of it, writes, and he writes, "This is illegal," and sends it back to the IRS. Not surprisingly, he remains under audit for most of his life.
To say, how has he not been flagged?
Oh, he's flagged. He's constantly in audit. But every year, this is illegal. He just believes that the entire tax system, the entire tax filing system is a violation of the Constitution because he never agreed to pay taxes. So there you go. All right, look, we got a lot of stuff to get into today. We'll come back. And we'll get into our stories talking about our survey. We've got to talk about millennials versus Generation Z and what they're looking like and what they're expecting. It's all coming up here on the Lance Roberts Show on this President's Day edition. There's no sale here, but hey, we'll hang out with you anyway for the next 45 minutes. Don't go away.
Want a longer talk with Lance about your money? Request a personal one-on-one at LanceRobertsShow.com.
When traveling the road to retirement, unforeseen curves like a bear market can delay you. Join RIA Advisors for our next Retirement Right Lane class to guide you past the pitfalls and potholes that could delay your retirement. Saturday, March 9th at 9 a.m., meet us at the Courtyard Houston Katy Mills for coffee, kolaches, and a common sense approach to achieving and excelling in retirement. Register for our Retirement Right Lane class at RIAAdvisors.com. The class is free. The information is priceless. RIAAdvisors.com.
KSEV 700 AM.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Well, epoxy powders usually consist of one component fusion bonded materials comprised of epoxy resins, flow control and curing blends, catalysts, fillers, pigments, and UV light resistant agents that when applied to the preheated substrate will uniformly coalesce and cure to produce a homogeneous film that encapsulates the metal.
Honey, can I have a word?
Mm-hmm. And Luke, if you want more information, you can always go to our website, HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Hey, it was great talking to you. Remember, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, it's some exciting stuff.
You're embarrassing me. Luke simply asked you what you did, not about the science behind it.
Oh, sorry, I...
It's the same situation as last weekend. Do you remember when Chris asked you how work was going and you gave what seemed to be a never-ending lecture on cathodic protection that was in line with Houston Powder Coaters' FPE systems?
That was some good stuff. It's like a fail-safe coating system for underground pipe and vessels.
Honey, people are going to think that you're powder coating nerds.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Houston Powder Coaters. Great at the science, not so great at the parties.
Back to the show this morning, 6:17, as we kind of get your day underway here. 21,352,244,307.10.
My hair hurts.
That was 1 month ago.
Yeah.
1 month ago, the national debt was 21,352,000,000,000, so forth, so on. How did it go from 21.3 trillion to 22 trillion in a month?
Interest?
Well, that's part of it, yes. Government
and,
shutdown.
And really?
Yeah. Because of the government shutdown, all the calculations basically stop. It's because we were at a debt ceiling, we had the government shutdown. So the actual budget clock or the actual, you know, reported debt.
Yeah.
Didn't increase because for a month the government was shut down, so we didn't report our debt. This is actually kind of a cool thing. We should just shut down the entire Treasury Department
and not report.
Yeah, and so your debt would never move.
There you go.
It's like, you know, going to the bank. It's like basically going, can we get a current financial statement from you? Well, I've stopped reporting that, so it's the same as it was 5 years ago.
So the guy in the trailer down by the river can write on his return, I'm shut down.
That's right.
Can't report. Can't do Sorry. It.
But, of course, yeah, in 1 month, the government opens back up, and immediately we start reporting this again, and the debt jumps by $700 billion to $22 trillion in national debt. But here's the funny thing about this. So $22 trillion national debt. Now, we were talking about this in early 2018. Right after the passage of the Tax Cut and Reform Act, the job cut bill, I'll think of the full title of it in a second, but it wasn't job cuts. It was anyway. But when we passed the tax reform bill, we'll call it that one. In December. We talked with Congressman Kevin Brady and several others here on the show about the issue of tax cuts and the impact to the economy. If tax cuts, which lower your revenue take, right? So I'm charging less in taxes. So the amount of revenue I collect goes down because of that. That if we don't combine that with some type of offsetting spending constraint, then you're going to basically eliminate the actual effectiveness of tax cuts on economic growth, which is the whole purpose of this, right? So we lower taxes, we give more, what we were told is we give more money back to the corporations, we give more money back to the job creators, they create more jobs, they raise wages, they spend more in capital expenditures, and that helps the economy grow. But we also know that when you carry a lot of debt, and this works in any environment, whether it's your house, your government, anywhere else, that if you're not controlling your budget, in other words, you're spending more than you're bringing in and you're increasing your debt, well, that debt has to be serviced. So while there's nothing wrong, one thing that people say is like, well, there's nothing wrong with deficit spending, just the government spending money. Well, there's technically nothing wrong with it, right? A good friend of mine, Woody Brock, Dr. Woody Brock, a brilliant guy, and he wrote a book called American Gridlock, and this was a few years back. He holds 5 degrees in economics and mathematics. The guy is absolutely brilliant. Anyway, he wrote this book called American Gridlock, where he was reviewing this idea about government spending, government debt, and the effectiveness of it. And spending money by itself, having a deficit for a government, which is where we're spending more than we're actually bringing in revenue, technically, the deficit can be nullified as long as the money that you're spending in the deficit, right? You're spending more than you're bringing in, so you're having to issue out debt for it. His point was is that deficits don't matter as long as, there's a big caveat. See, and what people tend to do is they hear the first part, deficits don't matter. So they all latch onto this like, see, that doesn't matter. Governments can just spend money willy-nilly. It's fine because, well, we can just issue more debt. Well, they never hear the other part of this. They never hear the second part of this equation, which is deficits don't matter as long as the money that the government is spending is done on productive investments. In other words, if I have to borrow money at, say, 4% interest, that's okay. And see, companies can do this too. As long as I can borrow money at 3 or 4 or 5% interest and then invest it into something that creates a rate of return higher than the amount of interest that I'm paying, then that's a productive investment because eventually over time, that investment will wind up paying off the debt and I'm left with a revenue producing investment even after the debt is paid off. So over time, yes, I may go into debt initially, but the investment that I put the money into will ultimately pay the debt off and then create a profit on top of that longer term. So, see, this was the, you know, kind of the general premise of what happened during the Roosevelt administration when we were building things like the Hoover Dam, the Tennessee River Valley Authority, and those were productive investments. Yes, it put people to work right away. And this is another kind of fallacy is we talk about government programs, infrastructure spending. Great, we're going to build a road. We're going to put all these people to work, and we're going to go build this road. Great, okay, so we're going to create a government job to build roads. Well, once the job is completed, what happens? They're out of work again. So you may create a temporary fix in building a road, but you don't create a long-term solution. The Hoover Dam creates revenue long-term and employs people long-term because it's got to be operated all the time. And so the revenue that it creates and collects has far out exceeded what the cost was to actually build the thing in the first place. So that was a productive investment. And people look at that and they go, well, this was done back during the Depression. It worked great. So we need to do more of that. Well, the problem is we're issuing a lot of debt. 75 cents of every dollar. Actually, it's getting closer to 80 now. But 80 cents of every dollar we collect in revenue goes to spending that is non-productive. Social Security, welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, prescription drug benefits, Obamacare support, so forth and so on. But see, that doesn't create an economic return on investment. That's simply just borrowing money to send it out. Doesn't create a long-term return on that debt at a rate higher than what we're borrowing the money at. And so there's your problem. But we continue to do this, right, repeatedly. And this is why we're now at $22 trillion in debt. The economy is still growing along at about 2.5%. And we're not being able to create stronger rates of economic growth because the bulk of the money that we are investing is not being invested. It's being spent on sustaining the debt that we've already issued. And so think about your household just as an example. If you make $2,000 a month in income and $1,500 of it a month goes out to just paying interest on your credit card, then there's very little left over for you to spend and do other things which actually support economic growth. The government's the same way, which is all the money we collect, 75 cents of that, goes to pay things that are required that don't create a real return on investment, interest on the debt, et cetera. So this is the big conundrum. But see, it's not just the $22 trillion, though, that you have to worry about. And that's really only a really small drop in the bucket, because the bigger issue is the unfunded liabilities that we have for the 75 cents that we spend out of every tax dollar that's paying the current issues on. So remember we talked about Social Security, Medicare, prescription drug benefits, et cetera. Well, once you add those liabilities up, see, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, those have long-term liabilities to them. We've got to support this aging baby boomer population. We've got 10,000 people a day, quote unquote, that are retiring, rolling off the rolls. You know, they've got this massive baby boomer generation that's now moving into retirement. And this is one of the big conundrums with trying to reform Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Because all these people, all these baby boomers have been paying into the system for 30 years while they've been working. Now they're right here at the end of the road. Then they're like, what, you want to take my benefits away? I'm not like, no, you can't take my benefits away. This is why when somebody talks about Social Security welfare reform, raising the minimum age requirement, putting an income limitation on, et cetera, people go into an uproar. And this is why it's been an unelectable conversation to have. If you want to have a conversation about reforming Social Security, you're not going to get elected. Because while fiscal conservatives run around waving their arms going, we need to fix it, we need to fix it, you even have the Social Security Administration coming out saying, hey, if we don't fix it, 2025, we're going to have to cut benefits. There's simply not enough money. But nobody wants to talk about it because nobody's willing to give up the benefits that they've been paying into for 30 years. But it's a 70-plus actually, it's closer to 80 now. It's almost an $80 trillion unfunded liability on top of the $22 trillion in debt that we currently have running in the government. See, nobody ever talks about that side of the ledger, but that's an off-balance sheet debt that is sitting there. It is required. It will have to be paid. It is a pension, just like company pensions, that have a liability attached to them. Somebody's going to wind up paying that debt, or there's going to be a lot of people not getting paid. It's one of the two. Be right back after the break. I'm Lance Roberts, 629 on your driving this morning on this President's Day edition of the Lance Roberts Show. Don't go away. Driving.
Catch the Lance Roberts Show anytime, day or night, online at lancerobertshow.com.
The new professional version of Real Investment Advice is RIA Pro, and it's loaded with the Lance Roberts proprietary stock and ETF analysis and all of the critical investment information you need, all in one place. And now you can try it out for free for 30 days. Subscribe now at realinvestmentadvice.com. Click on the RIA Pro tab and use the coupon code PRO30. That's realinvestmentadvice.com. Click on the RIA Pro tab and get 30 days free with coupon code PRO30. RIA Pro.
Trulux Private Dining Rooms offer several flexible options for hosting your next event. Rehearsal dinners, graduation parties, business luncheons, milestone anniversaries, you name it. Your dedicated special events coordinator will work with you every step of the way and take care of every detail, from decor and floral arrangements to AV equipment to a fully customized menu prepared by your own private chef. Come on, let's start planning. This is Managing Partner Dave Mattern, inviting you to host your next event at Trulux on Westheimer, just east of Yorktown.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh never frozen beef and double the Applewood smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
A must-have news feed for conservatives. Keep up to date on the key conservative issues with the KSEV Facebook page. From the news you need to know to the topics that KSEV listeners are talking about to KSEV events, there's a lot to like and a lot to share. Go to facebook.com/KSEV700 or find the link at KSEVradio.com. Thanks for listening to KSEV Radio. Now, join the conversation online. Facebook.com/KSEV700.
Tired of monthly TV payments? Then you should know Mr. Antenna. These guys come to your house for a one-time cost and set up an outdoor antenna that gets up to 50-plus digital channels. Plus, you get all the major local channels like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, PBS, and more. Stop the monthly TV payments. Call Mr. Antenna at 832-674-1212. That's 832-674-1212. Or visit MrAntenna.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Campbell here, serial entrepreneur. I started my first business in the basement of a factory over 30 years ago. We had no heat and no air conditioning. Instead of customers, our office visitors were rats, birds, flies, and snakes. Our office flooded often, and we used blankets as our office walls. We were broke and needed help. That's why I created Patriot Software, to help small business owners with simple payroll for 1 to 100 employees. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
As we go through the day today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and some sunshine, looking dry with a high of 64. But occasional rain and drizzle moving in for tonight as temperatures drop down into the mid-40s. Leading to a chillier day tomorrow with a little rain around. It'll be cloudy as well, a high of 59 for tomorrow afternoon. Occasional rain and drizzle lingering into the morning on Wednesday, but dry and cloudy in the afternoon, a little warmer with a high of 62. With the KSEV Weather Center forecast, I'm meteorologist Courtney Spamer.
And welcome back to the show this morning. It's 6:34. You know, so we talk a lot about, you know, generational differences, and we're just talking a little bit about the national debt. Of course, the bigger problem, which is the unfunded liabilities of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And, of course, this is the one big problem that we have, is that nobody is willing to give up their benefits, right? Because... Oh, I've been paying into them for 30 years. I'm getting ready to retire. Why are you going to take the benefits from me? I get it. This is why it's been an unelectable, you know, situation. If you're running for office and if your platform is I'm going to reform Social Security, you're not getting elected. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And, you know, it's always interesting because when you do propose an idea about reforming Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, the general consensus is, as long, that's fine, you can fix it as long as you don't mess with my benefits, right? So, and it's kind of the same thing with taxes. You know, we talk about this idea of paying your fair share and people, you know, wanting to be, you know, have higher taxes on the rich. And it's kind of this idea is that, you know, I'm a very generous person personally, and I believe that everyone should pay their fair share as long as it's not me, right? And this is the idea, right? Let's tax everybody else, just don't tax me. Don't raise my taxes, just tax everybody else. Well, of course, you know, the system doesn't work that way. You know, and you know that old story about the guys that are having breakfast every day and they're splitting up the bill the way that we pay taxes. And of course, the people at the bottom don't pay anything. The guy at the top is paying the majority of the bills. So they decided they want to shift more of the burden to the guy at the top of the ladder. He quit showing up for breakfast, right? So that's that whole idea. And that's the way it works. You know, we keep shifting the burden up the ladder to the wealthy because, you know, we don't like the wealthy, right? They have everything. We don't have anything. So they should pay more. But the problem is, and we've shown this data repeatedly, through our blog posts on our website at realinvestmentadvice.com. If you go to the website and Google taxes, you know, on our website, there's a search bar. We just put in the word taxes, and we've got tons of articles about this. The top 90% of income-generating Americans pay almost all the taxes. So exactly what is the fair share at you know, when we're talking about this? You know, if everybody's supposed to be paying into the system, then what exactly is the fair share? Because the bottom 50% of Americans pay virtually no taxes. So the issue when you talk about this, and this is a changing dynamic that is occurring. So baby boomers are, hey, don't take away my stuff. You know, we talk a lot about millennials. They have a very different attitude about things. And then we have Gen Z that's coming up. So Generation Z are individuals that were, well, they're my kids, right? They were born post 2000. They were born 1997 to the 2010s. They make up right now about 26% of the entire U.S. population. It's a pretty big generation, Gen Z. They make up a quarter of the population. Now, baby boomers, as a function, only 28% of baby boomers identify as non-white. Gen X, which is the group right behind baby boomers, 40% of them, so 28 to 40%, identify as non-white. 44% of millennials identify as non-white. And almost 50% of Generation Z identifies as non-white. Now, that has nothing to do with anything. It just kind of gives you an idea of the shift in the population over four generations of the makeup of the population. But it has other impacts regarding attitude, regarding cultural mores, etc. But here's some of the interesting statistics about Generation Z in relation to what they expect from the world that they're coming up in. And remember, these are my kids, right? So I'll be 54 in May. I've got four kids all in this bracket. And so when I'm reading this study, I'm going, yep. Now, all four of my kids identify as white, by the way, just saying. they fall in the other 50%. Unfortunately, they're about as white as a loaf of Wonder Bread. So I don't want any confusion here. So,
pass the saltines.
Exactly. 98% of Gen Zers own a smartphone. 92% have a digital footprint of some sort. 50% are connected online for at least 10 hours a day. 70% watch more than 2 hours of YouTube every day. Now, I can tell you that's a fact. I don't understand it. We just sold our house. We're getting ready to move, and we're living in an apartment right now, and we're trying to get ready to move into our new house. But we have TVs through the house, right? In our old house, we have this media room, right? So they could go in and watch movies on a big screen. I thought this was going to be a genius idea. Boy, was I wrong. My kids will lock themselves up in their bedroom and they watch everything on their phone. It's like, dude, we have a couch and a kitchen, television, but no, they watch YouTube on their phone. I don't get it.
You remember when we were growing up and our parents would tell us, if you get too close to the TV, you're going to ruin your eyes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, all my kids are nearsighted.
Well, three-inch screen your entire life, you're going to go blind.
Exactly. Probably. You know, there was that commercial just a minute ago on the break talking about Mr. Antenna. They'll come out and install an antenna.
Yeah.
And it's true because of regulation changes that occurred with the airwaves, you can now put up an antenna and get digital television through an antenna. And every time I hear this commercial, I kind of chuckle to myself because I just remember my dad We had this 19-inch black. My whole life growing up, right?
Yeah.
We had this 19-inch black and white, you know, television is like a big giant refrigerator.
Exactly.
You know, but it was 19-inch. Had the rabbit ear antennas, mm-hmm. and had the foil on them.
Yep.
And then for some reason, my dad would always go fiddle with the antenna to try to get the picture to get better. And then if that didn't work, he just beat the television. I didn't. You know,
percussive maintenance.
Yeah. Just, yeah. He figured if he just whacked the top of the television enough,
oh, yeah.
you know, the picture would, you know, magically show up. You know, and after I left for college, my whole life growing up too, we had this Lawn Boy push lawnmower. It was the one you had to mix the gas and the oil together.
Oh, a two-cycle.
Yeah, it was a two-cycle engine. You know, manual push. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing. We had this massive backyard. Our backyard was like two lots, so it was huge.
We could have baled hay with that thing.
Well, we could have. We actually had entire baseball games in my backyard. It was so big. But so my whole life growing up, we had this push Lawn Boy lawnmower, and we had this black and white television with a knob that would fall off all the time. And it only had like, you know, it only had the 211, 13, 26, 39 UHF dial. That was it.
It's a wonder you turned out.
I imagine. Yeah. And as soon as I left for college, you got a color television and a riding lawnmower.
And cable.
It's like, bastard. My whole life.
Yeah.
Anyway, so 40% say they're addicted to their phones. And as we talked about just the other day, their favorite form of medium now is no longer writing or even texting. It's now sending pictures. So as we talked about the other day on the show, the millennials that are coming up now and the Generation Zers are moving back towards hieroglyphics, apparently, as a form of communication.
So kindergartners will soon be being taught the emoji bet.
Yes.
Not the alphabet, the emoji bet.
So talk about emojis. You know the on those emojis, there's the one that's the poop icon?
The brown one.
The brown one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have your phone read it, it actually reads it as poop. So my son's phone name in his sister's phone is Tommy with four of the poop emojis after it. So when she picks up her phone and she puts her brother's, the phone will read it out, calling Tommy poop, 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 poop. It's absolutely hysterical. Anyway,
I wonder where she got that idea.
I have no idea. There's no sense of humor in my house at all. Anyway, all right, quick break. We'll come back, wrap up our conversation. Got a lot of stuff to get into. Actually, I've avoided getting into some of the bigger stuff. We'll do that when we come back from the break. Don't go away.
Get daily investment news you can use, delivered at the speed of the internet. Sign up for Lance's newsletter now at LanceRobertShow.com.
When traveling the road to retirement, unforeseen curves can keep you from reaching the exit lane. Join RIA Advisors for our next Retirement Right Lane class to guide you past the hazards that could delay your retirement. Saturday, March 9th at 9 a.m., meet us at the Courtyard Houston Katie Mills for coffee, kolaches, and a common sense approach to achieving and excelling in retirement. Register for our Retirement Right Lane class at RIAAdvisors.com. The class is free. The information is priceless. RIAAdvisors.com.
Propane Grill and Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, is the barbecue kitchen and accessory headquarters. My good friend and owner Bob Fulton always emphasizes to me the importance of selling a great quality product, whether it's a new grill or one of the many outdoor kitchen accessories. Bob Fulton and Universal Propane Grill and Light stand behind their products and will only sell you what you need. And Universal Propane Grill and Light only carries top-of-the-line grills and kitchen accessories that are built to last. No knockoffs here that will corrode, break down, and fall apart after a few uses. They have it all, from grill heads, side burners, refrigerators, doors and drawers, and so much more. And be sure to check out all of the great grills on their showroom floor. Shop where all the grill masters go. Universal Propane Grill and Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, just west of 249. Or give Bob a call today at 281-894-8878 or visit their website, gasgrillwarehouse.com. Universal Propane Grill and Light.
Want to get really growing?
ArborGate Soil Complete and ArborGate Blend provide a 1-2 punch that simply works. 80% of a plant's success rate depends on what's below the ground. Start with Organic Soil Complete. It's handcrafted from organic materials, including vegan compost, rose soil, and expanded shale. Perfect for your beds or containers, and is available by bulk or in bags. Then, feed your plants with our Organic Blend plant food. It's time-released and will not burn. Made with composted poultry litter, organic matter, calcium, molasses, and 11 species of mycorrhizal fungi. Sound delicious? Your plants will think so. This powerful organic combo, designed especially for gardening success in our area, will energize your green thumb as never before. So head out to the ArborGate, located in Tomball on FM 2920, a mile and a half west of Highway 249, or visit us online at arborgate.com.
Show 647. So just for the break, we're talking a little bit about the differentials between millennials and the upcoming Generation Z. You know, millennials mostly raised by baby boomers. Generation Z mostly raised by Gen Xers. Millennials grew up during an economic boom. Gen Z grew up during an economic recession. I'm telling you this for a reason, so just bear with me one second. Millennials tend to be idealistic. Generation Z tend to be pragmatic. Millennials are focused on having experiences, while Generation Z is focused on having money and saving money. Millennials are mobile pioneers. Generation Z are mobile natives. Millennials prefer brands that share their values. Generation Z prefer brands that feel authentic. When I look at Generation Z in the workplace, 72% prefer face-to-face conversations versus millennials. 69% prefer their own workspace. Millennials like that open space concept. It's moving back towards give me my own office. 77% expect to work harder than previous generations. By the way, every generation says that. that's not new. 75% expect they want to have multiple roles in an organization. 36%, only 36%, I should say that equality is the most important issue today, which is surprising. But they say that racial equality is the most important issue today. So economic equality, not nearly as important as racial equality. 80% prefer to work in a mid to large-sized company. Two greatest aspirations after college: to be financially stable and have a dream job. By the way, that's the same for every generation. Two most important factors in a job: empowering work culture and potential for career growth. And of course, that's the same for every generation. And two most important skills for succeeding in the workplace, according to Gen Z: being able to communicate and to problem solve. And I guess communication involves Snapchat, because that's how they communicate. Snapchat and emojis. Why do I tell you this? I tell you this because it's an interesting shift. Right now, the Democrats are currently, you know, really pushing these ideas of social agendas. We've talked about here on the show about Ocasio-Cortez's new Green Deal. And we're going to pay for this with the national debt, because deficits don't matter. We can just spend debt. And she threw a price tag out there of about $7 trillion to reform the face of America into a new green utopia. Some independent analysis said the $7 trillion is correct. $7 trillion number is correct, but it's annually, not over 10 years. So, of course, $70 trillion is a far cry different than $7 trillion. But the point is that despite this idea that there is this rising tide of socialism in the country, a new poll that is out today, actually out over the weekend, shows that a differential, and this was a Fox News poll, and it showed that the percentage of Americans that want the government to leave them alone is actually going up. while the percentage of Americans that want the government to lend them a hand is going down. According to the poll, 34% saying lend me a hand is down from 41% last year, 41 to 34. 39%, and that's also down from 39% in 2016. The 55% who would tell the government to leave me alone is up from 51% in 2018 and 54% in 2016. 57% of voters have a positive opinion of capitalism. That's more than twice the number who feel the same about socialism at 25%. Some of the groups most likely to have a favorable view of socialism include self-identified liberals, 50%, Clinton voters, 43%, and those under the age of 30. But that was only 36%. When they broke the numbers down by political party, they found that 72% of Republicans had a favorable view of capitalism. Only 47% of Democrats did. And a new generation of Democrats is using far-reaching policy ideas and brash social media presence to upend the party, pushing it to the left on divisive issues such as health care and climate change, while it charts a path aimed at taking the White House in 2020. So it's interesting because the reason I bring this poll up, and we talk about baby boomers, we talk about millennials, we talk about Gen Z, because we talked about this on the show before. There is a change afoot, economically speaking, in America. And if you're a baby boomer and heading towards your retirement years, as we were talking about earlier in the show today, you know, we have $22 trillion in national debt, another $70 to $80 trillion in unfunded liabilities for welfare support, et cetera. And of course, when it becomes to a voting issue, an economic issue, people don't want to actually deal with Social Security reform because they don't want to give up their benefits. Again, it's okay to take away benefits from other people, just don't take mine away. And part of this is why there is this social, this change in America over the course of the last few years, where there is becoming a deeper and deeper divide between the populist and nationalist movements. And it's not just in the U.S., this is globally. You know, a few years ago, we were looking at Greece as an individual little country, this little island. It was blowing up economically. It had massive debt structures. And the IMF was giving Greece these loans to try to bail out the country so Greece wouldn't default on its debt, because that would have caused a whole ripple effect through the entire global complex. And nobody was wanting to deal with that because we were just coming out of the financial crisis. So nobody wanted to create another financial crisis by letting the debt from Greece go bankrupt. So we started bailing them out. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. And since then, the economic deviations around the globe have risen markedly. Of course, you know, the George Soros kind of nationalist movement ideas of kind of open border immigration, et cetera, all sounded great at the time. And here we are just a few years later, even Germany, who was one of the big adopters of this open immigration, open border, nationalist ideas, is now beginning to reject those ideas. They're willing to pay people to leave because they found out that this unbridled kind of nationalist immigration movement is not good economically speaking. Of course, we've talked about that on the show here before. France has its a rising tide of unrest, populist movement there because of, well, wealth effect. Right? What's happening there? England's dealing with the same thing. The whole Brexit issue with the UK arose from the immigration problem, ultimately, but also the impact of that immigration on the equality of individuals in the country in terms of job opportunities, etc. Same thing here in the United States. And so it's not surprising that we see this generational divide between groups that are now on one side of the ledger saying, give me more, because they feel suppressed. They can't get, you know, gainful employment of what they, and again, you have to be careful when you say this, because they go, well, there's not any job opportunities out there. I can't get a job. I was having this conversation with my son last night. So my son's 18, and he's going to Germany in June. He's got an apprenticeship, tradecraft apprenticeship. So he's going to learn. He's going to work for a gun manufacturer to learn to make it. He wants to be a gunsmith. So he's going through a trade route process. It's where he's going to learn a skill and a trade. And this is his decision. And we were having this conversation last night. He's like, and we were talking about this idea of government funding and college education, college debt, et cetera. And he goes, well, college should be free, right? I mean, everybody should have access to college. Sure. Everybody should have access to college. And then I was explaining to him, I said, look, you're graduating high school. Back in the 40s and 50s, if you had a high school education, you were a genius. Because most people, if they got through the eighth grade was about their maximum education level. And so if you had a high school diploma, you were something. And you could get a very, very good paying job because having a high school diploma made you special. You were smarter than the average bear. And then we changed the law and said, okay, everybody has to go to high school. And what happened today? If you have a high school education, how special are you? What are your job prospects in today's world if you only have a high school education? He goes, well, not great. Why? Because of supply and demand. Everybody's got it. So, I mean, if everybody's got a high school education, then it has no value. I said, if everybody has a college education, if the government pays for college and everybody has a college education, then the college education has no value because everybody has one. What makes you special? What is your special skill set? If everybody has a college education, if everybody has a bachelor's degree, an undergraduate degree from college, it has no value. So then we start saying, well, I'll hire you if you have a master's degree. And so then we say, well, everybody needs a master's degree. And then all of a sudden, master's degree have no value. It's all about supply and demand. And this conversation came back to this whole idea of a gold standard. Well, shouldn't a dollar be on a gold standard? The answer is yes, obviously. But the cost of living would be so astronomically high, you couldn't afford to live here. Because there's only a finite amount of gold, which means we can only issue a finite amount of dollars. And when there is a restriction on the amount of dollars that can be limited, the cost of the value of that dollar goes skyrocketing higher. And you won't be able to afford to buy anything. So the problem is that whenever you have too much of something, it loses its value. And it's just the basic premise of economics, the supply and demand. And so the issue today as we go forward and look at the world as we speak, we're issuing, you know, and this all comes back to the debt discussion we were having. At $22 trillion in debt, plus $70 to $80 trillion in unfunded liabilities, we have an enormous amount of debt in the country. That debt has to be serviced. We have an infinite supply of money that we can print, which has a continued loss of value over time. And so the rising change of views in this country is not surprising that those in the bottom end of this ladder have the greatest change in attitude about the value of capitalism because they are unable to participate in it effectively. And this is the part that a lot of these the left-leaning policies right now, like Ocasio-Cortez's policies of the New Green Deal, are preying on that attitude. But that wraps up the show for today. Have a great President's Day, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Lance Roberts Show. See you then. If I had a little money, it's a rich man's world. It's a rich man's world.